Good evening. We'll call the meeting to order. This is the regular meeting of the Board of Education, District 303. It is Monday evening, March 9th, 2015 at 7 o'clock p.m. We welcome everyone, and would you call roll, Ms. Rutledge?
Mr. Gaffney.
Here.
Mrs. Sewell.
Here.
Mr. Manheim.
Here.
Mrs. McCowan's absent. Mr. McNally.
Here.
Mrs. Perrott.
Here.
Mr. Sperling.
I'm here. And would you join me in watching Troop 260 do the flag presentation and the pledge to the flag? Join me in the pledge to the flag. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Color Guard retreat.
Thank you, guys. Okay, thank you to Troop 260 for doing that. That was very nice. Welcome everyone tonight in what feels like might be the beginning of spring, so let's keep our fingers crossed. Are there any citizen comments?
No,
none. Okay. Well, having none of those, then we'll go to the superintendent's report.
Thank you very much. It was wonderful to have everyone here in Richmond. First off, I want to thank the orchestra. I think there's, what, over 200 kids in the orchestra here, is that right? Pardon?
Yeah, over 200 students.
Over 200 students in the orchestra here at Richmond. So it's a great chance for our kids. So hopefully you had board members had a chance. I know I saw several of you standing there watching the kids. So thanks to the orchestra.
If I could just ask, is that orchestra and band or just the orchestra?
Just orchestra.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Joe's not as big a draw for that. No, we got a lot of band kids here as well, so I know that as well. So, orchestra over 200 kids, so that's great. We're first going to start with a student presentation tonight, and Rosa is here for she has to introduce her staff and students and what else she had planned for us. So, thank you.
Good evening and welcome to Richmond Intermediate School. My name is Rosa Shia, and I have had the pleasure of being for the past 3 years. And over these last 3 years, our staff and families have come together and worked collaboratively to align our CAP goals as well as our school improvement goals. And as a community, we've developed a plan to address math learning and literacy learning here at Richmond. In addition to that, we've also implemented multiple other initiatives, including tablet integration, as well as foreign language and sci-tech instruction. So at this time, what we'd like to do is we'd like to share a short video to give you a window into our work and to be able to showcase our students, our staff, as well as our parents within this video. Following the video, we will have two guest student presenters who will also demonstrate how we use technology here at Richmond to enhance our learning. So we'll go ahead and we will start our video.
So we've been working on professional learning at Richmond for the last 2 years. Particularly, we've been working on deepening our math content so that we know how what we teach here at the elementary school is connecting to middle school and high school and beyond. I've really learned the importance of productive struggle. Letting students work through a problem and use all of their strategies and things they've already learned to help them solve a problem that they might not know how to solve right away.
Hello.
Our teachers, they don't give us the answers. They let us figure it out. They show us, they ask us questions, and that's how we get a little bit more deeper into our math.
We have time for explicit instruction up on the carpet. Then we have time for the kids to get up and move. They're working independently. We
Is
also have a time where kids are working in pairs.
I just don't want anyone to feel left out.
There.
We've been working on professional learning at Richmond for the last 2 years. Particularly, we've been working on deepening our math content so that we know how what we teach here at the elementary school is connecting to middle school and high school and beyond.
I've really learned the importance of productive struggle, letting students work through a problem and use all of their strategies and things they've already learned to help them solve a problem that they might not know how to solve right away.
And we just keep on going and going and going to figure it out. Our teachers, they don't give us the answers. They let us figure it out. They show it, they ask us questions, and that's how we get a little bit more deeper into our math.
We have time for explicit instruction up on the carpet. Then we have time for the kids to get up and move. They're working independently. We also have a time where kids are working in pairs. And then we have another time where kids are sharing out strategies.
As the math specialist, I have been working with teachers to improve their instruction with students. We work on both lessons that directly teach students new skills, as well as lessons for students to apply their skills.
We work together so we can figure out, and if that person knows some parts I don't, we collaborate together to show off our answer and get proof of what we have done.
The students really engage a lot more when they're given some deep, rich problems to solve and they're able to have a lot of discussion and share their thinking with everybody.
I see Jane creating charts and diagrams and drawings to visualize or demonstrate her answer.
I just use Extra Math like as a fluency tool to help me like work on my fluency on problems for the four operations, which is addition, subtraction, multiplication, division.
You have to go deeper into the math to really understand and get to the root of the math, and that's how you'll be a great math. That's how you'll be great in math.
There is a lot of modeling anytime something is new. Guided practice and definitely independent practice as well for students to practice a specific strategy or skill.
And we silent read, and Ms. Reese has conferences with us, and we talk about the book we're reading.
Cornell Notes with Mrs. Ray. She's taught us how to use Cornell Notes, words we don't know about, words we've figured out, important stuff, summaries. Yeah, we've learned a lot of that.
But usually you would see us marking up text and reading it and asking questions about the text.
The library staff put together the Blue Stem Reading Book Club, so students who are interested in participating in a book club could do that during their lunches.
To ensure student success, we collaborate as colleagues and we are able to work together in different areas to meet the needs of those students. So we come together and we brainstorm and plan out how to use certain strategies or skills for any of the content areas to help all our students.
Well, doing some research was really fun, and it kind of helped me read a little better because there were some words I didn't know, and then I got some help, and it was really easy after that, and you got to learn about an animal you never knew about, and it's really exciting when you get to learn something new every day.
I wrote stories about rocks, and I made a couple of drafts. Then I made a final draft, and I made a podcast out of the stories.
So here at Richmond, we're really fortunate to have a really strong parent partnership. And collectively, every single staff member in this building, along with all of our families and parents, are committed to ensuring that we're doing what's best for each and every student within the building. And so we strive to work hard every single day to ensure that every student's being successful.
But the bilingual program is unique and really important here at Richmond because it allows the students to develop both languages in literacy and allows them to read and write in both languages.
I think the world in general has turned so much more to technology, and I think that it's fantastic that the kids have the opportunity while they're at school to learn the different programs and learn how to use the different technology tools that are available nowadays.
The extracurricular activities are a big part of the student experience here at Richmond. Our participation numbers are very high. There's over 200 students in band and orchestra. More than 350 students are in 100 Mile Walking Club, 200 plus in Precision Fitness. There's Field to Play 60, there's drama, there's student council. The list is endless. Students just have the opportunity to participate in so much and become well-rounded individuals.
We're learning how to work with other peers, like, successfully. Also, in, like, the news club, we're learning how to, like, speak in front of others because we have to present it because everyone in the school watches the news.
In Tiger Theater, I learned like how to problem solve. Like you learn how to get along with people.
My daughter participates in almost every extracurricular activity that they have, and I think that it has helped with her leadership and her being comfortable with her other students.
The wealth of activities, the longer school day. I can't even think of a parent I've talked to outside of this school district that isn't stunned by the number of things my daughter is involved in as an elementary student. It's been a fantastic experience.
To describe Richmond, it's probably fun.
Energetic.
Collaborate.
Problem solvers.
Educational.
Community of learners.
Helpful.
Student-centered.
Exciting.
Innovative.
Joyful.
Creative.
Super fun.
Fun.
Hi. Am I on? My name is Carrie Ganchert. I'm a fourth grade teacher here at Richmond. And this is a student of mine, Olivia Julian. At Richmond, we have lots of opportunities to have access to various materials via our tablets. And one of the best things about them is that we can really give students that instant feedback as they work toward meeting standards. One of the programs, actually two of them, Olivia is going to show you are 10 Marks and Google Classroom. And she's going to show you how she uses those throughout the day.
10 Marks is an online math tool, and we use it to practice math skills that were taught in class. And then there's this thing on it that's called jamming, and it's basically practicing your facts. It's like this. And you get instant feedback whether you're correct or incorrect. And then the second one is Google Classroom. We use it to, it's pretty much an online a classroom that allows us to complete written responses and participate in discussions and collaborate with our classmates. So this is one of the projects I did. It's about the Steve Jobs and why people might think that he had the Midas touch. And then you can see that Mrs. Ganchert can attach a rubric so we can see how we did. And then she can add a comment. And then I did a goal. And that's to show how we can do better or improve on our work.
The technology allows us not only students to monitor their growth toward the standards and their goals, But it also is a great way for parents to see their students' progress over time. Everything is housed right here, and it's fantastic. Thank you.
Hi there. My name is Jan Rain. I'm a fifth grade teacher here at the Fabulous Richmond. And Michael Fulkerson is in our classroom. We're going to be talking about global collaboration that takes place in our classroom and how the tablets have helped us a great deal to enhance our learning opportunities. We're going to focus on two different areas, one of which is KidBlog, and the other is a mystery Skype. So I'm going to turn it over to Michael.
KidBlog is a website where you can post things like writing pieces or videos that anyone can see. And when you're done, you can go comment on someone else's blog page. But people can post back to you. Parents, teachers, or students can do it too. We do this so that we can basically get out of the classroom electronically and meet new people that we might not have known before. And they could be anywhere. They could be in India. They could be in England, which means that their grammar might be different than ours. It just shows how people all over the world are different. How we do it is we post writing pieces, as you can see. I have a couple of them right here. We post things like 100-word challenge, which gives us writing prompts each week to write about. And then people post to our blogs, and we can go see other people's posts, and we can and we can tell them what they might want to do better and what they did really, really good on. So this is my blog page. As you can see, this has helped me a lot because I've grown to like writing a lot better than I have before. It's shown me that writing isn't just plain old and boring on pieces of paper. You can go online and write different pieces and compare yours to other kids in your class or somewhere else because maybe they might not have the same thing that you have. And it's not just the title that draws people in. Some people look for the titles to see what seems interesting to them. But for me, I won't look at the titles. I'll just go over to the pieces and see what they write. So there are a lot of kids in our class that like to do this. And all of us think that is fun. Then for Mystery Skype, Mystery Skype is basically Where's Waldo combined with 20 questions. How it works is we Skype with a class anywhere in the world. It could be all over. It could be right next to us. We don't know. And we have to find out where they are using geography-based questions. And we do this so that we can review our geography skills and, if we need to, learn more of them. For example, I was not good with longitude and latitude last year, but this year I've improved a whole lot. So we do this by going onto Google Earth and sometimes maybe a dry erase map where we can circle things where they might be, and we ask questions that are normally geography-based, but sometimes we go to like letters. So this is one of the apps that we use. It's called Google Earth, and we can go all over the world and look at different places in Africa and anywhere in the world, and we can zoom in as close as possible. And this has helped our whole class a lot.
Thank you very much, Michael. As you can see, we do quite a bit in our classroom. We call it global collaboration, but it's just one more way to bring our fifth graders here in St. Charles out into the world and beyond, different countries, different cities. We use it to meet 21st century skills as well as standards in an innovative way that's inviting to them. They collaborate effectively with one another, with others around the world, and they're also learning to be critical thinkers as well as writers and readers. And the one thing that's awesome about it is it gives them authentic learning experiences. And when other kids and adults around the world are commenting on their writing, they say and take that much more seriously than their parent or myself even commenting on their writing. So thank you very much. Have a great evening.
Thank you. And we continue to be a great place for students to learn. I would be remiss to not recognize that we have just an incredibly dedicated staff that really supports our students. So I'd like to just take a second to be able to introduce our staff. So if you're a Richmond staff, if you could stand up and kind of move forward a bit, and we will introduce you. Colleen Krause, Special Ed Resource. Taryn Raymond, Special Ed Resource. Amanda Kanisak, Reading Specialist. Jamie Briesman, Third Grade Teacher. Connie Unger, Third Grade Teacher. Allison Schombach, our Administrative Assistant and Front Office Welcomer. Julie Lambert, Art Teacher. Connie Heisman, Instructional Assistant. Tracy Landell, Reading Specialist. Sandy Jefferson, fourth grade teacher. Mary Beth Biden, reading specialist. Lindsay Richardson, fourth grade educator. Gustavo Silva, our dean of students and families. Maria Reese, third grade educator. Laura Collins, 18 math. Kelly Skoronsky, third grade teacher. Ralph Rocha, fifth grade teacher. Elizabeth Davis, fourth grade teacher. Irma Dominguez, our front office secretary as well. Sherry Wright, fifth grade teacher. Joanna Dempsey, fifth grade teacher. Allison Winter, English language learner teacher. Carrie Hanschert, fourth grade teacher. And Amy Dixon, sci tech teacher. Did I forget anyone?
Board members, you have questions?
I have a question, but I just did want to say that I thought that that was a wonderful presentation. I felt like I learned a lot about what's going on here. And I'm always really impressed with something that wasn't even mentioned, and it's how well the students present things. Mm-hmm. I doubt if any of us sitting here could have done that when we were 10 years old. It's well thought out and well paced, and they did a great job. And I want to just say one of, oh, yeah, really. I just want to thank all the teachers for coming, because I'm sure that this is the most teachers we've ever had from any school be at one of our meetings. I think it says a lot. So thank you for coming.
Any other board members? I just want to point out that I appreciate you. All the press, I will really appreciate the fact that you just don't work at the headlines. You actually go in and read the material. So all these guys up there are sitting there writing, they all go, yeah, because they're, you know, sometimes their articles don't get read because the headline isn't so catchy. So I'm sure they appreciate that. You had the staff stand up, and I think some of them already stand up. So parents that are here, kind of stand up and wave a little bit. The parents that are here. It's always fun to have you as here as well, and your kids did an amazing job both in the orchestra and the presentations. And Jenny, thanks for putting together the video for us. That was great as well. So thanks to everybody for that. I will give staff and parents a few pauses here. If you wish to stay, we'd love to have you stay. If, on the other hand, students or others got homework and you need to go home, you're welcome to do so right now as well. So it's up to you. So I've got a couple other things for board members while they're filing out, for those that want to do that. We've got staff recognition event coming up. which is April 9th. Please put that on your calendars. 6 o'clock at East High Commons. It'll be one of our, I think, our largest retirement groups ever that we've ever had here. I'm looking for Mr. Blaney. How many do we have?
62
retirees.
I believe that's the number.
Yeah. So plus a bunch of other recognitions as well. So we have. So that'll be certainly since I've been here. That'll be our largest retiree group. So please, if you can, they really appreciate the fact you come for that. And then we have the Growth of District 303 Committee. There's a white paper that's out. I think the board members got a copy of the draft. Did they not, or not? No, not yet. Well, we'll may send you a copy of the draft of what we've got so far, but the committee wants to reserve presentation to the board until we have some better data from our demographer. We hope that that'll happen in the next month or so. We've got some, we have about 2 more years of IDPH, Illinois Department of Public Health data that is probably going to be available for us, and that would help us get a better handle on where the numbers are. So we'll get that. So sometime we're thinking maybe May or June is what we're thinking that that the committee will actually present to you. So they're kind of completed, except they want to codify the results once they do that. So that'll be coming to you as well. So I think that completes the, did I miss anything? I think that completes the superintendent's report.
Okay, thank you. And that takes us to the committee reports. Did policy. Okay. And when's your, is it this one?
You know, yeah, it is, and I don't know the date.
March 23rd.
March 23rd.
Okay, how about learning and teaching?
Yes, learning and teaching met on February 17th. A good number of board members were there because we had a presentation based on a request at the board table. But there are three items on the consent agenda related to curriculum approval and resource approval, and that is the social science curriculum and resources for psychology 1 and 2 and sociology, that's K. AP human geography resource, we approved the class I think 2 months ago, and this is the textbook that they have determined they want to use, and they used an interesting phrase for it. They said this is the book that other schools that have already had this class, this is the book they wish they had. So we should, I think, feel good about that. And that's L. And then MR, the AP Physics 1 and 2 resources, actually, it's one book. And so that's all on KLM. Then about the second two-thirds of the meeting were devoted to learning more, having all put together in one place, the Common Core standards, state standards, and PARC. The conversation about Common Core, the presentation, I think, was pretty direct, gave a chronology, gave reasons, things like that. I don't think there were too many questions from the board on that. Second half of that presentation was the PARC work, and that is the Partnership for Assessment of Readiness of College and Careers, and that's the assessments that our students are going through at this time. So I think that was one of the reasons to have that presentation so quickly, so that board members would have an idea of what was happening. And I asked for all the work to be put into the packet, because there was a lot. I don't even know where to begin in terms of questions, but I think there was a lot of concern about what this test was testing. And, you know, did we really need to do it? All those kinds of questions were answered at that time, and there was no further action requested by the board. So that was the end of that meeting. So we have those items on the consent agenda, and we were to have a meeting next week. I don't even know what would have been on the agenda, but there wasn't very much, so that meeting for next week was canceled.
Okay, so April will be good?
Yes.
The next one? Okay. DPTO?
Yes, DPTO met, and they met in, they did something that they kind of considered like their summit, and they met in tables that were mixed. There was a representative or two or more from every single school, and this was an opportunity, something they hadn't done before, and they were able to get together, talk about what's going on in their schools, what works, what doesn't work. They do that in a general meeting, but this time they really had a work session. I think they all walked away pretty energized. It was a long meeting, it seemed like. I wasn't there for a lot of, because I just, you know, felt like they were doing their work. I haven't gotten any notes on anything that came out of it necessarily. I think it will be useful material for them. And then they were excited about, in order to have a candidate summit, candidate forum, mm-hmm. next Wednesday, which is the 18th, I think. So they're going to have the candidates for the school board.
Is that their regular scheduled meeting?
It's their regular meeting in the morning, yes. Okay.
Mm-hmm. What, next Wednesday?
Wednesday. I'm pretty sure it's the 18th, but it is Wednesday. That's their normal meeting day.
9:30 a.m. Okay. Thank you. How about business services?
Well, we met on the 19th. I was there, so I don't need to give you a report on it tonight. Most of the board members are there, so I'll run through this very, very quickly. We had both the financial reports on both the district and on Mid-Valley. Everything is copacetic and up to standards. We did have an intergovernmental agreement presented to us from the Forest District of Kane County. Mr. Beard reviewed the intergovernmental agreement, and again, that's on here for consent agenda tonight. Again, playground and maintenance agreement between the St. Charles Community Unit School District and the St. Charles Park District, again, on for consent agenda. We had discussion on the Norris Rec Center, the remodel options, which included some options, and staff is to bring us back a report on the deferred maintenance cost, and we at the last meeting sort of tabled this until any future discussion. We're looking at costs right now, I think is the biggest hang-up we're having at the Norris Rec Center. We also had a report from Mr. Chapman on the Norris Cultural Arts Settlement Agreement. Again, and we still have some issues that have to be ironed out, I guess, in agreement with the operating agreement for renewal over there. We had a lengthy discussion on the high school withdrawn from the National School Lunch Program for both high schools. It is on the agenda tonight. The board conclusion was that I think that it was recommended that we do, according to staff, withdraw the high schools from the program, but that's to be seen later on. We had Mr. Beard present us contract agreements and bids on a couple vehicles, a couple trucks, and a John Deere commercial area mower. Again, that's on the agenda for tonight. Mr. Reichling presented us the telecommunication services. The committee and the administration is in the process of collecting quotes for the district telecommunication service, and I think you're going to bring that to us next month, John, is that correct? Or tonight, okay, I'm sorry. Review of the bids for the digital mailing system, again, that was Mr. Chapman, that's here tonight on the consent. Mr. Chapman also brought us that, again, with Standard & Poor's, our bond rating, we're at a double-A rating, which I don't think a school district or much of anybody can do much better than a double-A rating. So, again, congratulations to staff and Mr. Chapman for a job well done. And, again, helping us with our bond tax abatement, that's on tonight for discussion. Just back to Standard & Poor's for 1 second. Public should keep in mind, the better the rating we have, the better the bond service we get, and the better ratings we get for our bonds, so it does pass on to the public. So with that said, we call the meeting about 7:20, and we meet. Meet on the 26th of this month. Thank you.
If I could just point out there, we do not have anything on the agenda tonight on the hot lunch program, food service program for tonight.
Okay, I'm sorry.
No, that's all right. It will be coming at some point. It was informational for the board at that point. So.
Okay, and thank you. How about community relations?
Community relations will be meeting on March 23rd, okay. And a highlight of that discussion will be the late start, just a discussion about late start for high schools.
Okay. And Norris Rec?
I was actually unable to attend our last meeting, but the only item for action was the bills and treasures report, okay. And that passed. And then we have our next meeting this coming Monday at 5.
Okay. Did I miss anything?
Housing.
Oh, yes.
Housing Commission could not get a quorum. So we'll be meeting again on March 19th. which I believe is next week. And once again, the discussion, the main topic of that discussion will be the 2014 Housing Affordability Analysis and Inclusionary Housing Ordinance.
Okay.
A little light conversation.
Okay, well, I think that's it for our committee reports. So that moves us to Section 5, our four action items. Do I have a motion to approve the student travel for 2014-2015 school year? So moved.
Second.
Mr. Gaffney, Mrs. Hill, second. Any questions, comments?
Same rules and regulations that we have every year?
Yep.
Okay.
I was going to say, this seems like a really great trip. It's not like four countries in 7 days. This is three weeks. It looks like somebody really, the teachers or the group put together a great learning experience.
Anything else?
What is the cost?
$3,000.
Let's see.
$3,169.
Pardon?
$3,169.
Thank you. Okay, would you call the roll, please?
Mrs. Yule?
Yes.
Mr. Manheim?
Yes.
Mrs. McCown?
Abstain.
Mr. McNally?
Yes.
Mrs. Perrott?
Yes.
Mr. Gaffney?
Yes.
Mr. Sprout?
Yes. Motion is approved. And do I have a motion for item 5B to approve the bond tax abatement?
So moved.
Mr. Gaffney? Second. Mrs. Perrott? Questions, comments?
What is the percentage we're looking at for sure? I mean, the final percentage.
So it'll be a 2% to the taxpayers. It'll be approximately $1.3 million abatement, or 1.03. $1.03 million abatement, which will raise our abatement to about $5.5 million or so over the last 3 years. So.
I had wanted to thank you for sending along a request that I think Mr. Gaffney had made about to really look at the fund balance and what it is, and whereas we might think, and it is recognition and it's good and everything, but you take out some of the reserved monies for the self-insurance and, and it's right where we expect to be, 29% or so.
Right.
So that was kind of instructive to me. I hadn't thought about the medical insurance. I knew that the capital thing was in there.
Yeah, the capital thing is there, and then also the medical insurance. So by law, I have to have the runoff and those kind of things in there. So.
Absolutely. It's just not as much as reserve, not in fund balance as I thought when you just look at the graph, the bar graph.
I'd still like to look at, when we look at these things, I'd like to look at things other than teacher salaries. We always present this in the way as teacher salaries, and I'd still like to look at those items, those other expenditures that we have, so that we're looking at a holistic picture rather than one target. I understand that's the largest part of the budget, but I just would like to look at other areas as well.
All right, so noted.
Again, just to bring forth that originally we had talked about anywhere from 0.5% to 1%, but we were basing it on the CPI being 1.5% to 2%. I think that anybody that was in business or any public municipality or governmental agency, when the government came through with the 0.8, it sort of backed everybody up a couple steps. And
In the first discussion, it was 2.1, and we were using an assumption of 2.5. So.
I just want the public to understand is that it hurts us just as bad to go to the 2%, but we do have obligations, and with the 0.8, we didn't have much of a choice. And I will say it again, I think staff and the superintendent and their CFO have done an excellent job on trying to hold the line. And again, the other day we got something from the superintendent about readjusting again to try to save salary money. So. As much as the public, we hate to do it to them, please understand that we are doing our darndest to try to keep this thing intact, but we still have, it costs money to educate the kids in this city. Mm-hmm. And we're doing the best we can do, I can guarantee it. So,
I agree.
Thank you.
I've spoken to several of my neighbors about this, and after I explained it to them, they all said, absolutely, we feel confident that the board is making the right decision for the 2%. But also, reading in the newspaper, and again, concern about our own sense, the board's fiscal responsibility, And in light of the shifting nature of Illinois funding, the CPI coming much lower than any of us had anticipated, I think it would be fiscally irresponsible for not to vote for a 2%. So I would
to
certainly
vote
support
for it or
it.
Not to vote for it?
To not to vote for it.
Not to. Okay.
That I am in support of a 2%.
Okay. Anything else? All right, would you call the roll, please?
Mr. Manheim?
Yes.
Mrs. McCombe?
No.
Mr. McNally?
No.
Mrs. Perrott?
Yes.
Mr. Gaffney?
Yes.
Mrs. Huell?
Yes.
Mr. Sperling?
Yes. Motion is approved. And that takes us to item 5C. Do I have a motion to approve additional internet bandwidth?
So moved.
Okay, Ms. McNally, second.
Second.
Ms. Manheim? Questions? Discussion?
My only question is this just a cost of growth, or does it have something to do with the testing?
It really doesn't have. I mean, we're there anyway. The testing obviously makes it, you know, for a two-week window or whatever, more dynamic, but we're there anyway. Mm-hmm. So we would have gone there had the testing not been there. Mm-hmm. I guess you're right.
Oh, sure.
And it's just an aside. It made me think, as I thought of that question, I was wondering, would it be a worthwhile exercise to figure out what additional costs we've taken on in order to be ready for, especially the computer part of the park testing? I mean, is that anything anybody would be interested in?
I would be very interested in knowing the costs involved in park.
Yeah.
Very interested.
I wouldn't say it needs to be to the penny, you know, but it's something that, and it's not reimbursed, right?
It's probably not possible to get it to a penny anyway because there's a lot of redundancy in equipment.
Keep in mind that we just made a decision early on that we weren't going to give all of our students the digital. Had we done all, 7 grades, done it through digitally, we would have been spending some substantial amounts of money in order to get there, both in Wi-Fi and in bandwidth and in computers themselves. You know, the interesting enough, the computer that Richmond uses here, we can't use that computer. Currently, Park doesn't interface with it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, those are the kind of things that we ran into that we didn't know we were going to run into. At that being said, we didn't spend a ton of money or even much money at all. Where we spent the most is in staff time. Most of this would be in staff time in Dr. Brand's time, but also all the teachers. There was coordinators at every school. That's where most of us. So if you wanted it, it would be mostly in time, not necessarily in actual dollars associated with that. We upgraded Wi-Fi. But truthfully, our Wi-Fi needed to be upgraded. Our nodes needed to be upgraded in most of our schools anyway, and it was. So some of that, as an example, this school, we upgraded all the Wi-Fi in this school, not because of Park, because it wasn't working very well at the beginning of the year. So all those kind of things happen. So.
Okay, so. I guess it's kind of nice to see them enumerated in some way, because we don't think of all the pieces that
We could take a stab at putting it, but most of it's going to be in personnel time.
Just a general.
Sure.
And because the other part of that is that next year we're likely to have more students taking it on computer.
Yeah, so the expectation right now, what we had talked about here in District 303 is that this year would be 3 grade levels, next year would be 5 grade levels, and the following year would be 7 grade levels altogether that would be taking it online. So each year we would step it up a year. Now, whether or not we're able to do that and whether or not the state allows us to do that, I don't know. But this year they did allow paper, pencil, and digital versions of it. The difficulty is that Dr. Brand and I have had these discussions. We're not sure how comparable those results are going to be. So a fourth grade result that took it on paper, pencil may not be comparable to a fifth grade result that took it on the digital version. well.
There's not going to be a transition from one year to the next, nor even this year one student to the next for the kids who took it digitally versus pencil and paper, because you know there is embedded videos that you can't do on pencil and paper,
right.
For
yeah,
example.
Exactly. So
it's really going to be essentially a year where you're supposed to be establishing a baseline, and it's not possible to establish a baseline.
It would seem unlikely. Let's put it that way.
They could establish one. It won't be a valid baseline.
Right, yeah, I would say that.
So they're going to establish an invalid baseline,
right.
But they're going to give us one.
So before we get too off the topic on the park, and we'll bring it up in new business.
I did want to just ask, because we're on the what grades, for information, what grades did take it and what grades took it on pencil, paper versus?
Sure. So what we try to do is once a kid takes it digitally, we try to figure out a plan that they would always stay taking it digitally, so they wouldn't transition back to paper and pencil. Mm-hmm. So this year was third, fourth, and we'll take it paper, or took it paper. Mm-hmm. Fifth grade took it digitally. Sixth grade took it digitally. Seventh and eighth took it on paper, and then the freshmen took it digitally. Okay. So next year will be third grade. The plan was to be having third grade would be on paper. Fourth and fifth grade would be on digitally. Sixth and seventh grade would be digitally. And then freshmen, or actually next year, I think we're supposed to do three grade levels. So next year we will have to do freshmen, sophomore, and juniors. Now, if we have to do freshmen, sophomores, and juniors all digitally next year, we may be in some costs associated with that next year, because we just don't have the horsepower right now in the district to do three grade levels at the high school in that 2-week time frame.
Okay, and I don't want to go too far, and you say we're going to be discussing this later, right, the park.
Yeah.
So I have a couple other questions just about it. So
I do have a quick question. How does the grading come back on that? I mean, do the teachers and the parents get to see the tests that the kids took?
No one gets to see the test. You'll get it by, is my understanding, this is Dr. Brand, I haven't seen it exactly yet, but my understanding is that you'll see it broken down by, you know, like language arts, and then specifically about phonemic awareness or something like that. You'll get those kind of breakdowns by that, and it will give the student a rating, is my understanding, in each of those subcategories of a 1 through 5, I think. Is that correct? So the 5 being best, kind of similar to what an AP exam is. So that's my understanding, is each child will get that, the parents will get that. Reading.
And how then do the parents and their teachers help that child who gets a 1 to improve? Because they don't really know, except very generally, what they're having a problem with.
Well, it'll be reasonably, it will be as specific, I think, as what the ISATs were. The ISATs, you never got the test back either, and they didn't get that as well. They got areas like this. So I think it won't be much different than that, at least that's my understanding. I've never seen obviously, the grade come back, and we'll see when they come back as well. That's another thing, is timing. Right now, we're being told it could be October or so before we get it back.
Okay. Any further questions on additional bandwidth? Okay, would you call the roll, please?
Mrs. McConnell?
No.
Mr. McNally?
Yes.
Mrs. Perrott?
Yes.
Mr. Gaffney?
Yes.
Mrs. Hewell?
Yes.
Mr. Manley?
Yes.
Mr. Sperling?
Yes, motion is approved. And do I have a motion to approve item 5D, telephone services?
So moved.
Second. Mr. McNally, second. Questions, comments? Okay, seeing none, would you call the roll?
Mr. McNally?
Yes.
Mrs. Perrott?
Yes.
Mr. Gaffney?
Yes.
Mrs. Hewell?
Yes.
Mr. Manheim?
Yes.
Mrs. McConnell?
Yes.
Mr. Sperling?
Yes, motion is approved. Do I have a motion for item 5E for T-Mobile Cellular Services?
So moved.
Mr. Second. Gaffney, Mr. McNally, second. Questions, comments?
I have a question.
Yep.
Just on the third bullet point, which is each cellular phone will be provided with 300 voice minutes. Is there a warning, or is there escalating cost once you go past that 300? It's unlimited text messages. And just so we, you know, so people don't know, because that's 10 minutes a day, so...
They are actually, they aggregate all of the lines of service. So we actually have a pool as a district of 34,800 minutes. So any one user, if they were to go longer than their 300, they're not going to be charged overage.
Okay.
Dip into the unused minutes of somebody else's phone.
Only if we went to 35,000.
Okay. Because I was just struck by the 300,
lowest,
you know.
This is
I was
the lowest plan. So it's not that we could have gotten a 50-minute plan or something like that.
Okay.
Anything else? Okay, would you call the roll, please?
Mrs. Pratt?
Yes.
Mr. Gaffney?
Yes.
Mrs. Huell?
Yes.
Mr. Manheim?
Yes.
Mrs. McCallum?
Yes.
Mr. McNally?
Yes.
Mr. Sperling?
Yes. Motion is approved. And Mr. Manheim, do you have a motion for item 5F?
I do. I move that this Board of Education adopt the resolution before you, authorizing and directing the President and Secretary to give to the non-tenure licensed employees, other than final year probationary licensed employees listed on Exhibit 1, attached hereto, written notice of this board's decision to not reemploy said licensed employees for the 2015-16 school year. And in view of the fact that the resolution form in front of you is the same for these non-tenure licensed employees, other than final year probationary licensed employees, I recommend we adopt this like resolution.
Okay, do I have a second?
Second.
Okay, Mrs. Huell, second.
I have a question.
Is there a request that the resolution be read in its entirety? Okay. Is there a request that any individual resolutions be read in their entirety? Okay. And is there any other discussion? Ms. McCallum?
I think we made it a point in middle school to hire some really good math teachers. And by that, I just mean that they were certified or whatever they call that through high school. So are we going to be determining that they're let go until they may or may not be rehired in the fall?
Yeah, that was actually brought up. I made that request to Dr. Schlemmer just looking for more information as well. And I didn't get a chance to read the full answer yet. So
there are three teachers on here who are math teachers. The two are at the middle school, one's at the high school. And they were hired on one-year temporary contracts. One was replacing another math teacher on a year of leave. One is a part-timer, and the other one was hired less than a week before the start of school. Mm-hmm. They were planned to be 1 year. If they perform well this year and we have a position for them, we'll rehire them. But all the people being released tonight, with the exception of one, were all part-timers or temporary hires.
Okay. But were any of the three, the teachers that we were looking for, you know, that we wanted to put in middle school with the extra certification?
Math specialist,
thank you.
The math specialists are not on the list. Those are elementary. So the three, there's two from middle school and one from high school who were temporary hires for the year.
Okay.
So they're automatically released every year because they were only hired for 1 year.
Okay.
That doesn't mean we can't hire them back.
Right. And the only thing I'm thinking about is if I'm a really good teacher and I want to know I have a job next year, I don't really want to sit around and wait to be rehired, so we might lose them. And if they're the ones that we were looking for to make sure that our middle school kids got the math that they needed to go ahead with, I'd hate to see them.
I think we'll be rehiring people for positions we know about at the April meeting, so it won't take.
Okay.
Yeah, that's typically.
So this is simply a...
Anything else? Okay, would you call the roll, please?
Mr. Gaffney?
Yes.
Mrs. Huell?
Yes.
Mr. Manheim?
Yes.
Mrs. McConnell?
Yes.
Mr. McNally?
Yes.
Mrs. Burrott?
Yes.
Mr. Sperling?
Yes, motion is approved. And Mr. Manheim, do you have a motion for 5G?
I do. I move that this Board of Education adopt the resolution before you, authorizing and directing the President and Secretary to give to the selected non-licensed employees listed on Exhibit 1 attached hereto written notice of this board's decision to honorably dismiss said personnel effective as the end of the 2014-2015 school term. And in view of the fact that the resolution form in front of you is the same for these selected non-licensed employees, I recommend we adopt this like resolution.
Okay, is there a second?
Second.
Mrs. McConnell, second. Okay, is there a motion to or a request to read the resolution in its entirety? A request to read any individual resolutions in their entirety? And are there any discussion points? Yes.
Could we get just an idea of who these individuals are, what kind of jobs they do, the types of work?
Mr. Moore?
Yes, 8 are enrollment assistants, so they work in elementary classrooms where the enrollment class is high. The rest are special education teaching assistants. We typically release about this many each year until we know the needs for the next year. Last year, all special ed TAs who wanted to come back were rehired, and the enrollment assistants were not all rehired because we didn't have enough spots.
And that's likely to occur next month as well?
Or a little longer.
A little longer.
Okay. More like May or June.
Okay.
Well, and even maybe longer on enrollment staff because we won't know enrollment until actually close to the first day of school. So.
Okay.
Yeah, we bring them back.
Okay. Anything else? Does that answer your question? Okay. Would you call the roll, please?
Mrs. Huell?
Yes.
Mr. Manheim?
Yes.
Mrs. McConnell?
Yes.
Mr. McNally?
Yes.
Mrs. Perrott?
Yes.
Mr. Caffney?
Yes.
Mr. Sperling?
Yes. Motion is approved. That takes us to the consent agenda. Are there any items that the board members would like to hold?
Are the textbooks on?
Okay. Seeing none.
I'm sorry,
Wait.
Wants to check it out.
Yeah,
I'm off that.
Are the textbooks on the consent agenda?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So okay, then I would like to take the whatever the geography.
That would be item L.
L.
Human geography.
Six.
Yeah, human geography. Yeah.
Is that the only one?
Yeah, that's the only one that I'm concerned about.
I don't want to remove an item. I want to just a refresher on the playground maintenance agreement. What was the there was something that was different this year? Is that?
Well, we added the agreement up by Anderson for that road. I think that may be what you're
that's
thinking
about.
That's
a separate
about.
One, yeah.
Okay. Or is that the second one?
That's the
forest preserve. Yeah. Oh, forest preserve. Yeah.
Was there any sort of a change in that agreement, or am I?
I don't believe so.
Remember.
No, but was there anything in
the playground?
Okay. No, same.
All right.
Okay. Is that all right?
Yeah, I just was curious. I didn't want to pull it.
Okay. Do I have a motion to approve item 6, the consent agenda, with the exception of item L?
So moved.
Second. Now we got a tie. So second to Mr. Gaffney. Questions, comments, discussion? Seeing none, would you call the roll, please?
Mr. Manheim?
Yes.
Mrs. McConnell?
Yes.
Mr. McNally?
Yes.
Mrs. Perrott?
Yes.
Mr. Gaffney?
Yes.
Mrs. Huell?
Yes.
Mr. Sperling?
Yes. Motion is approved. And do I have a motion to approve item 6L, AP Human Geography Resource?
So moved.
Okay, second?
Second.
Okay, Mr. Manheim. All right, questions, comments?
Is the textbook for that here?
Yep, right back there behind you.
Okay, because obviously I didn't get a chance to look at it, and I know it was at the library. Who's the publisher?
I don't know who's the publisher.
Pearson. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that this is going to meet with some disagreement. However, I'm not altogether. This is a new class, correct?
It's new for us. It's our first time with this AP course. It's been taught in other schools for a while.
Okay.
It's new for us.
It's new for us. I think maybe we ought to, this is just to my mind, focus on U.S. geography instead of human geography. Let me just tell you something. This is all Common Core related. I may be the only one who feels this way, but my sense is that Common Core is going to go down in flames, and we are going to have spent all this money for absolutely no good reason. And I can't do it any more than I could, you know, vote for a 2.0 when we're at a 0.8 consumer price index. I can't vote for this textbook and this. I know the course already passed, but it's just not really good for our children. Hopefully people have read this textbook and they're not as displeased as I know I would be. I will look at it. So.
Okay. Anything else?
I'm not to refute or anything. I was just going to say that this was a book that I want to make sure this was the one that when they went to other schools, this is the book that they said that they wish they had for their human geography course. They had chosen some other one.
Why didn't?
And then additionally, this is apparently it's had very strong enrollment I don't think the numbers are down here.
Over 200, I think.
250, like mostly freshmen taking an AP course, which is, well, they're just challenging themselves, and I think.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah, it is. Rather than taking a freshman course, they're taking a course that is a college level.
It's a college level course.
It's a college level.
Freshman year. So do they get college credit for this?
Possibly. Depends on the college.
Yes. Depending on how they do on the test, potentially, yes.
It's going to depend on how they do on the test, where they go to college.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's true, too.
Okay.
Just wanted you to know how I felt and my concerns.
Okay. Fair enough. Anything else? Okay. Would you call the roll, please?
Mrs. McCown?
No.
Mr. McNeil?
Yes.
Mrs. Perot?
Yes.
Mr. Gaffney?
Yes.
Mrs. Huell?
Yes.
Mr. Manheim?
Yes.
Mr. Sproul?
Yes. Motion is approved. That takes us to item 7, our four information section. Any questions on the FOIA requests or the financial reports for 303 and for Mid Valley?
I did have a question. Are our federal funds or whatever, are they behind? Are they behind? Yeah, federal. Not, we often hear about state, but it looks like this federal are being what they should be.
The idea of money, the idea of grant dollars, were a little behind. Yeah, but that also is funneled through the state, right? So my guess is that it's the state that's holding up those dollars, not mm-hmm. the feds.
But it would be accrued to the federal line item?
Yeah, it's gone to the federal line item, but it's basically a pass-through from the feds.
The federal government gives it to Illinois.
Right.
We're supposed to pass it through. And little gets taken
as far as I know,
top.
I mean, other than everything goes through Illinois first to come to us, because they're the managing, you know, for Title I, all those kind of things like that.
I didn't know that. To be honest, I thought that the money came directly to the federal.
I don't think we get any U.S. government checks for anything.
But we do know the portion, right? We know the percentage of funds that in fact come from the feds to the state,
yes.
And then directly from the state
yes.
itself, or us actually,
yeah, and
the taxpayers.
Actually, I think Mrs. Huell asked for a breakout, and we're working on that.
Mm-hmm.
So we haven't completed that yet, but Mr. Chapman and I have met on it, and we're working on it. He's working on that. He's working on breaking that apart for you. So,
thank you.
Okay. Anything else? Okay, that takes us to new business. The one item brought up earlier.
I bet we're going to talk about PAR. Is that right?
Can we put that in, I guess, business services? Would be the cost associated with PAR, and then what to prepare for next year?
What to prepare for in particular.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll give it our best shot is to do that and kind of take a look at that. So.
I think probably more so just preparing for next year, what's expected, how it changes. And
knowing that anything could change at any moment.
Right.
Really.
Right.
Anything else?
My concern is just that it seems as though we have to sit back and wait to be told what it's going to cost us. And there's something wrong with that picture. I mean, we should have factual information about what's going to be involved and what the cost would be before it just happens and we don't know and we're not sure and we can't get a clear picture, and that, you know, it's like doublespeak.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's the superintendent of the state, you know, superintendent of schools for the state. If he has a problem, he's certainly out there with his threats and with his, I mean, not real classy, I might say. So he should be asked what it's going to cost a district of this many people with this kind of budget. What is it going to cost? Because we deserve to know. The board certainly deserves to know, and I think parents and taxpayers deserve to know.
Without a doubt.
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
Something else, but I would suggest that instead of just looking at that as a independent test, it needs to be compared to what the costs were to initiate similar competencies, similar tests. So that we would know that if it was the ISAT or the Prairie,
what is
going to
cost this?
What is this cost?
This
is what this is. So
marginal cost, obviously.
So that what the comparisons are, at least big picture.
Right. Total cost benefit analysis would be interesting to see. But
you know, it's interesting when we, Mr. Sperling and I met with Congressman Hultgren one day, and we were talking about the fact that we did have an assessment for college readiness. We've used it for eons. ISAT, ACT, we've used that for eons. I don't know why we need a new one that not too many people really have a grip on.
Anything else?
Yes. As a reminder to the board, I truly enjoy going to these meetings, and I'll be out of town this week, so I won't be able to attend the Illinois Association of School Boards. It's going to be meeting Thursday, March 12th, and it's at South Elgin High School, so it's very convenient to get to. And it's going to be, the topic of conversation is Your Voice Matters, Resolutions, and Lawmaking. Learn how the Delegate Assembly works and how it affects lawmaking in Springfield. Sounds interesting. Mrs. Ratchford will be happy to register you if anyone like to go or is able to go.
Maybe.
And it's your voice matters?
Mm-hmm.
So, okay.
Is that a question? Working with the legislature?
Will it come with a laugh track?
Depends on how loud your voice
yeah.
is.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other new business?
One quick thing. We had our chamber orchestra out here, and that was phenomenal. They were short one, by the way. My son is homesick. He's in the chamber orchestra, so he didn't get to come tonight.
Is that the son that was in the video? Is that
Owen? No, that was my other highly intelligent son. But I went to Fiddle Fest, which is a phenomenal event. I went last year. I went this year. This year was, I think, even better than last year, with one exception. The venue at a middle school is too small. We were packed. They just didn't have enough room for people. I really think that's something that needs to be done, maybe alternate at East one year, North the next year. That's an event of that size, and there are people coming from all over the place to see it. I think that, and they bring in some
big
names.
It's middle school kids from the area?
No, well, it was our, for the entire district. The
anybody with a fiddle.
Anybody.
A string instrument is in the community is invited to come.
And there were some kind of national renowned names last year, and then one was a graduate, and I wish I could remember her name. Nationally or internationally renowned violin player. But with the number of people that were there, the venue was too small. I think we need to just kind of demand that be at a high school, an alternate year to year.
We'll talk to them again. We've talked on a couple occasions about moving it, and so we'll talk to them again about that. There have been some reluctance, I think, on sometimes the...
I know there's a thing about practice time.
Right.
For sports. But...
I don't know if this would come up under new business or if it's something that has to be executive session, but I think we need to start considering, because of the CPIU, we need to start considering the administration salaries and stuff, because we might not be able to go. I forget what it is that I wanted to call up. I'll look it up and send it to you. But I'd like to go over that again. I know we voted on it a couple years ago, but we voted on it when we had no idea what was coming down the pike. And I think we should look at it. So,
are you talking about tie-in salaries to CPI?
Well,
surcharges.
Yeah, administrative salaries to start with.
Yeah, so we would have to discuss that in executive session.
Okay.
So we can put it on for next one.
Okay.
And I do think some districts do that.
Anything else? Okay. With that, do I... make a motion to adjourn to closed session for the purpose of appointment, employment, compensation, discipline, performance, or dismissal of specific employees of the public body or legal counsel for the public body, including hearing testimony on a complaint lodged against an employee of the public body or against legal counsel for the public body to determine its validity.
I guess.
And yeah, we have number two. Okay, that's it.
So moved.
Okay, second?
Second.
Mr. McNally? Discussion? All right, would you call the roll, please?
Mr. McNally.
Yes.
Mrs. Perrott.
Yes.
Mr. Gaffney.
Yes.
Mrs. Hewell.
Yes.
Mr. Manheim.
Yes.
Mrs. McConnell.
Yes.
Mr. Sperling.
Yes. Why don't we take 10 minutes and then go into executive session. Are we going to do it here or there? The principal's office. Thank you, everyone. Have a good night.